Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Lorenzi. The pits, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing as we pick up the pieces following a pretty wild weekend of football across the board, including the World Cup draw, college football playoffs, NFL football playoff chase. The Kansas City Chiefs dynasty is dead. Inter Miami win the MLS Cup. Man, there was a lot of stuff going on over the weekend. Yet the resonating story, like after all of that, what I just stated, we'll get to the NFL and all that and the college football bracket. But the story really isn't about the bracket right now. And the story really isn't about the National Football League. Everybody in the football world is talking about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And Notre Dame were the ones that got left without a seat at the table. It was musical chairs. Somebody was going to get left without a chair. And it was the Notre Dame Fighting Irish when it was all said and done. And Notre Dame, we talked about this on Saturday's show. And I said exactly, I said, forget about these games. I would rather be in the room for how this stuff is going to go down later in the evening. When you had as many powerful people and as many powerful universities and athletic directors and university presidents and politicians behind the scenes involved, and you know politicians are involved. So you had so many people involved. Somebody was, and I said, somebody's going to not be happy about this, and we'll see what they can do. The committee clearly decided, you know what? What are Notre Dame going to be able to do? What are they like? What's their retribution to us? Like, if you screw over the SEC, like, can get you, right? Like, you can't, they're bigger, you don't want to upset them. Same thing with the Big Ten. You look at the Big Ten, that whole hedge fund stuff, Michigan threatened to take their ball and go home and leave the Big Ten, and that whole deal fell apart, right? Like, these schools are effing powerful, and you can't mess with them. They decided, you know what? Notre Dame's with NBC. We're not going to upset any network. NBC, we don't care what they say. They're an independent team. What are they really going to do? And all Notre Dame really could do was say, you know what? We're not going to play in a bowl game. So nobody else is going to make money off of us. Was it the right thing to do? I guess it's debatable. Mo Cotton, Camp Stewart in the house. Mo, I'll throw it to you. Was it right or wrong? Are you okay with Notre Dame saying, you know what? We're not playing in a bowl game. You can all go F yourselves.
I get why they did it, guys. There's nothing to play for them, right? Like, a lot of these guys who are high NFL draft picks are not going to play. But my question is, guys, this is different from a different perspective here. Why would you give up 2 weeks' worth of practices for a guy like CJ Carr, who's going to go into his sophomore year? People don't realize bowl practices are huge for the following year because you get to see the next class go out there and see what they can do as you get prepped for the bowl game. But I think from the ND perspective of how this played out, I agree with him from the perspective that, hey, listen, you were ranked inside that conversation for the entire 5-week window that's been unveiled. And all of a sudden, it flipped on Sunday afternoon that now they're on the outside looking in here. I thought Miami, and we all agree that Miami deserved to be in over ND. But the way that they played it out here, I think the Irish have the reason, the right reason to not play in a bowl game and say to the committee, bleep you, we should have been in it. Now we're going to sit aside, watch you guys play on the next 4 or 5 weeks coming up.
I look at it differently, Gabe. I think, you know, as a kid, this is the way we talk about the world changing. I get that they're upset, but I guess there's some people on the team that would want to play in a bowl game. Good point, Mo, about the practice time as well. Just the way Notre Dame handled it, too. They come across as like spoiled brats, just ripping everybody and everything. It's a bad process. I didn't like the way Alabama played in their final game against Georgia, Gabe. We were on Georgia. They murdered them. But, you know, tougher schedule and all that. But it's just one of these things. Now, you know, F you. I'm not going to play any bowl games. You know, we're going to take our ball, go home, as we talk about. I just think it would have been nice to go to a bowl game and maybe kick somebody's ass. But I can understand their perspective. I just don't agree with it.
No, I don't agree with it either. I think it's a bad look for Notre Dame, but I also just think that this is sort of a precursor of things to come, and it's kind of disappointing, but
it really is.
The bowl seasons will be
irrelevant.
Yeah, this is the beginning of the end of the bowls, Mo.
Yep.
It's the beginning of the end of the bowls, as I get, you know what I mean? I get a team like Florida State, you know, a couple of years ago got screwed, but if you're Notre Dame, what's so different about you than Vanderbilt, right? Like, if you're Notre Dame, like, there are other teams that had, like, so what about BYU? Like, should BYU, you know what I mean? You could argue BYU got screwed over harder than Notre Dame did, right? I mean, we heard the whole argument for Alabama made. Well, you can't punish a team for losing in their conference championship game. Well, like, okay, I guess unless you're from the Big 12 then, right? So, in other words, why don't you just come out and say you can't punish an SEC team for losing in the conference championship, but we're going to punish everybody else, right? Like, I saw the BYU, do you see BYU, like, after the selection yesterday? I like what their coach said. He goes, you know, they didn't even put us in the graphic. We weren't even brought up. Like, we weren't even brought up, like, out at all. Like, but it's all, Notre Dame, Alabama.
Yeah.
He goes, you know, you could have at least, like, put us in the graphic. But they're a two-loss team that they, you know. So it's all who are the committee scared of, who do they want to upset, who do they not want to upset, who's the most powerful this. Don't you got ESPN in there? And then I thought it was pretty sad on Saturday, every ESPN person opening up every statement they said with, we're not biased in saying this, right? Because the ESPN basically have been called out for being big SEC cheerleaders all week. And they are. They were, right? I mean, the whole system is screwed, but it sucks because I've always loved the bowls. There's a place for the bowls. And I'm not saying all the bowls are going to go away, but it's almost to the point where the only teams that are going to play in bowl games are like the lower tier programs that are happy to be in a bowl game, right? Because now it's like, all right, well, we're not in the playoffs. So like you said, Mo, what does it matter to them? What are we gaining? I mean, seriously, what are we gaining? You know what I mean? And if I'm Jeremiah Love, I'm not playing in this game either. I'll be like, whatever, dude. I'm the first running back taken in the NFL draft. I can't play for nothing here. Like, what are we doing? There's no stakes for me here. But at the same point in time, like Cam says, and like you said, Mo, you get the practices, it carries over to next year, and not everybody on the team is going to the NFL. A lot of these kids would like to play a final game, right? And play one last time with their brothers. Yet all you need to know about the bowl season now, guys, Notre Dame are not the only ones. 10 teams have decided not to play in bowl games that got invited. Now, some of these teams actually had 5 wins, right? And they said no because – and this is another thing. There's too many bowl games. They don't have enough teams that won 6 games. So then they had to invite a lot of teams with 5 wins, and every 5-win team said no. Like, a lot of these teams, like, are embarrassed to play in a bowl. Like, you know, it wasn't even, like, out of attitude. Like, it was like, no. We don't want to be mocked for the next month about playing in this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, season's over. Like, they're 5-7. They just want it to be over. Like, they're like, no. We don't want to continue this. But it's pretty wild. Kansas State, Kansas, Iowa State, Florida State, Auburn, UCF, Baylor, Rutgers, Temple, all said no to bowl games.
What the hell is Rutgers and Temple saying no?
Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, if Rutgers and Temple and the UCFs aren't going to bowl games, how do we even have an effing bowl season besides the college football playoff if no one wants to play in them?
Great point you made, too, Gabe, about BYU, too. Both of their losses are like a four-seed Texas Tech by 22 and 27. Like,
it's the only team they lost to.
Exactly. Texas Tech, we can argue, is damn good. This Alabama stuff is
camp. They spend all day telling us how amazing Texas Tech are. Yeah. And then they punished BYU for losing to Texas Tech.
Great call, man. And I'm sick of
talking about Alabama for beating a 5-6 Auburn.
I'm done with
team.
Alabama, Gabe. I told you. They lost to Florida State, for God's sakes. Notre Dame, sure, they got penalized early, and I don't like their little pouty attitude, but that was a horrible loss by Alabama. I get it. They play some tough teams in the SEC, but Texas Tech beat these guys twice. You know what, Gabe? I'm down with the Mormons. Great point by you. And these guys are showing up to the damn Pop-Tarts Bowl versus Georgia Tech on December 27th.
That's a good bowl game.
You're damn right it is. That's a great game. Georgia Tech and BYU, we still want to watch the Bulls. I'm for shame on the committee for Alabama. I'm sick and tired of this bias. It's been going on forever. You said it, Gabe. Money talks. You know what walks. BS. It's a bunch of – it's nonsense, and this is the world we're living in. And you're I'm sad, Gabe, because we've been doing shows for 20 years. We love the bowl season. Like, we love the Beef O'Brady's Bowl and stuff. It's part of the holiday. Like, we get fired up for this stuff. I don't care who's playing. It's fun. But, hey, man, we're in a different world now.
You know what's going to happen now, guys? They're going to go to 16 teams in 2 years' time. That's what's going to happen. And then eventually 24 teams.
Well, next year. Next year.
I think it's in 2 years. So they're going to
The TV deal is done now.
Is it? I thought it's 2 years it's done, the TV deal.
It's next year.
So they're going to expand to 16. But the point is, though, to your point, Gabe, of the original, hey, bowl season may be irrelevant. It will be irrelevant once they go beyond to 24 teams and say, well, you know what? We're going to use those bowl games as the play-in game, whatever it might be at that point. So, yes.
My idea years ago, but they won't do that. They won't use those other bowl. Like, they'll just have the playoff games because they're not going to want to give the money to those.
Gabe, I don't know about you, but if me, you, and Mo were on a team and we played for Cal, I'd love to go to Hawaii for Christmas. Maybe I'm just different. Like,
yeah, but they are. There's certain like those mid-tier programs, right? And especially kids, teams that aren't going to the NFL.
Exactly.
Like if I was on Rutgers, if I was on Temple, I'd be upset. Like, you know what I mean? Just because, like, you know what? That's another chance for me to play the game. But the real reason, and this is the truth, the real reason all these teams aren't playing, besides Notre Dame, and even Notre Dame to an extent, actually, is like, screw it. We're not like booking hotels and bringing our band and doing all like this type of stuff. It costs money.
It costs.
It's the ugly little secret about this stuff. They lose money playing in these bowl games, point blank. They don't make money. Right, the bowls don't have enough money to pay them enough money to really make it worth it. So you're doing it to showcase your program, blah 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 blah, and they can't sell tickets. It's another thing. Like, it's another little secret here, guys. Like, when you get invited to these bowl games, you're not just invited to the bowl games.
You're given 25,000 tickets inside the stadium. Whatever.
Yeah, you're told. Yeah, by the way, you're invited to the bowl game, and you got to fill up half the stadium, right? And a lot of teams, no, we can't do it. Like, who's going to leave Florida to go see a UCF team? They hate their team. They suck now.
Yeah.
Baylor had an underachieving season. Like, unless you play in a goddamn bowl game in the state of Texas, no Baylor fan is traveling to go see them after they just pissed them off this year. Right? Like, so the fan base doesn't go. It costs the team money to, like, the hotels, the flight. It's a lot of people you got to bring for college football. You know what I mean? It's just they don't even want to practice.
Well, do you remember the story?
What about if you play the game of your life, though, Gabe? And I remember me and you in the stands at the International Bowl where Ray Rice of Rutgers ran for 280 yards and 4 touchdowns against Ball State. Like, you know what I mean? Like, say you're one of those players that want to feature yourself and you have a great game in a bowl game. Like, you know what I mean? It's just
like, it sucks. If you're the NFL, you wouldn't like it.
You're
not getting a chance for these guys to showcase themselves.
Exactly.
But, you know, to your point, though, Gabe, right now what's happening is that – remember UConn? Remember they played Oklahoma in the Fiesta back in 2012, whatever it was. They lost money because they only sold 8,000 tickets to the UConn fans. It wasn't a big enough fan base. But look at the bowl games now, right? All the pairings now, it's all geo-friendly trips for some of these schools here that's nearby – you know, whether it's a Texas Bowl with LSU against Houston, right? They're all now geo-friendly because back 5 years ago, you would have Southern Miss play in Idaho when no one's going to travel from Southern Miss to Idaho for the Potatoes Bowl, right? So now we're starting to see that become more localized.
They bitch about traveling, but they paid players millions of dollars.
Right. That's it, though. Right. But now the bowl games are realizing we need to have more teams that's within driving distance for where we are to come play. That means we might have more fans showing up than going to the Fenway Bowl or the Pinstripe Bowl if you're like San Diego State University, for that matter.
Yeah, but Cam, the schools aren't the ones paying the players.
Yeah.
They have a great system in place.
You're right, Gabe. I'm just saying, maybe I'm just like all of us are old school. We've been doing this a long time. It's sad. Like the whole new world, it's a horrible thing. It's not good. Everything is getting worse and these NIL deals and this and that.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no, it's the fact it's that Notre change. Dame
thinks, yeah, no, like the fact that Notre Dame thinks they're better than everybody else, like a pedestal, like just shows the elitist attitude. I get it, you're pissed off, but suck it up. BYU sucked it up. Other schools are sucking
but
it up.
There's people like when you hear that, people don't really realize. When people hear, oh, Texas Tech are paying their players $28 million, Texas Tech are not paying them. And that's why, they got away with this. And they should still pay. Like, they really got away with that, right? The whole point years ago of the lawsuits was that the schools had to pay the players.
Yeah.
And the schools basically said, oh, no, 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 no. And then they came up with this little, well, you know what? How about the players get paid, but we don't pay them? We'll let the boosters pay them. We'll let everybody else pay them.
It was actually SMU all over again.
Yeah, it was actually genius. Exactly. It's like, oh, this is exactly what you punished SMU for. But
yeah, ridiculous.
So like the schools have it great. Like Texas Tech didn't spend a dime on any of their players. You know what I mean? Their rich boosters did. Right. So they don't spend any of the money. And then they turn around, they get to keep the money, but they have to flip it into their facilities and all that type of stuff. But yeah, like the schools are not paying. The best bowl game, the non-playoff game, is Michigan and Texas. You can give both these teams credit for saying, all right, you know what? That's it's a playoff caliber matchup. You got two 9-3 teams. It's so much so a lot of Michigan fans are like, why are we playing this game? What do we have to gain from this? But like you said, Mo, and like Coach Moore said, he said, nah, the practices are good. I like what he said, too, for the coaching staff. He goes, this is a good experience for the players and our coaching staff to get reps and to basically get ready, to start to build on next year. And I believe it, too. This is it's like an old school cool bowl game in which you got Bryce Underwood and Arch Manning, Mo, the two most heralded freshman quarterback coming into the year, going head to head right now.
But not
and
only
both
that,
these
though,
teams would have expectations
the,
of being
the big
in the playoffs
winner,
next year.
Cheese it.
Yep.
They get the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl with two like blue blood programs with Michigan and Texas. Unbelievable.
And they'll travel.
Stuff.
They'll travel down to Orlando. Sure. But the thing is, what this does for both programs, guys, whoever wins this game creates that momentum in the offseason towards spring ball and towards summer months, towards fall camp. That, hey, they smashed Team X. Could they be the team to watch out for going to September months of games here? So
yeah, whoever wins is going to be in the top three.
Yeah, you're going to have that conversation. Exactly, 100% you will. Increase the narrative.
And it's one thing that matters, too. It does matter the polls to start high. It's the only, to me, I always tell people that. Like, people, the polls don't matter and stuff. And it's kind of true, but the one poll that does matter is the first poll. It really does. It's basically like, it's like pole position in an F1 race. It's like starting spot, like in a marathon. It's like everybody's equal, but if I'm starting at 3 and you're starting at 22 and we have the same record, I'm going to get in before you. Right? Like, it does matter. It's good to be, like, ranked high coming into the year. Look at Michigan. Like, Michigan had to battle all year. Michigan were, like, just stuck in that 17-19 range all year. And everybody was always winning ahead of them, and they couldn't gain ground. Right? And then you're on the outside looking in. So it really does matter where you start. And it's a super cool game, like I said. And you got to the only thing is here, players that are going to be going to the NFL will not play in the game. But it'll still be a cool game, right? Because if you're a player going to the NFL, like, there's really no reason. I totally get it. One thing also that's being overshadowed to me in all of this, Mo, is that how the hell did James Madison get in the playoffs?
Damn you.
Like, this is, like, oh, I don't understand it. I really don't. Like, for the love of God, I don't understand how they bounced Notre Dame for JMU. Like, they didn't have to put JMU in. Like, there was no, like, oh, yeah, we're obligated to put the Sun Belt champion in. Like, we're not. They were obligated to put Tulane in. And they did.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. Like, I you know what I mean? I was in shock when I saw, like, that was the biggest thing that stuck out to me. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You bounce Notre Dame, fine, but for JMU, are you kidding me? Like I said, guys, they had to put Tulane, the Tulane North Texas winner in. You could argue whether they belong to be in there, whatever, they don't, but it is what it is. So they were the ones that were getting in. JMU did not have to get in, but I know they were ranked and all that type of stuff, but to me, man, I don't know if you saw the game, Mo. Like, JMU,
yeah, it was tricky. It was tricky against Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah, JMU, like, had a hard time beating a team as a 24-point favorite.
Notre Dame JMU, with Toronto, James Madison, BYU.
JMU had a hard time with Washington State a couple of weeks ago as 14-point favorites, and they won the game by four, scoring on, like, their last drive of the game. They're a good team, JMU. You give them credit. You know what I mean? A hell of a season you had. You only lost one game to Louisville all year. But they don't belong in the playoffs, Mo.
But that's why it goes back to my point that they will go to 16 because the 80 for ND was on Dan Patrick. And he said, look,
yeah, that's not going to change anything. But everyone that thinks, oh, we're going to go to 16, that's going to help. Like, what is that going to change?
Are gonna complain because too.
It just safeguards the Blue Bloods from getting exposed like ND was in this whole process. Right? JMU,
like I said last week, if you put the top 16 teams in the playoffs, the only other the teams would be in right now would be USC, Utah, Vanderbilt, and who is the other one? I guess Notre Dame would be now, but like those were like the three that were left out. Like basically, like the next in line would have been Vanderbilt, USC, and Utah. So okay, everyone, 16. I know because the playoffs just aren't the same this year because the Utah Utes aren't there, right? Like you add 16 teams, Mo. All we're doing is you're just going to put more big conference three loss teams in. Simple as that. That's all it means. It doesn't like it's just going to be more, and it's going to be more bitching, Mo, because there's more teams with three losses that are going to complain than two losses. You know what I mean? Like when you have it 12, like it's like, listen, two losses the cutoff. Somehow we let Bam in, but two losses the cutoff. Now with 16 teams, it's going to be three losses, except there's a ton of three loss teams. So now you're just going to have the Michigans and the USCs and the Penn States and blah blahs of the world all bitching about, well, we're 9-3. How come you get it? Like, Texas is 9. They're the other one, Texas. So that's the expanded playoff, Mo. It's not like 16 teams changes anything. All it does is puts in another SEC team and another Big Ten team.
Well, that's it's going to benefit those two conferences. But here's my question to you guys. What if it was Miami that got left out and they pulled the same decision as ND did? And so we're not going to play in the bowl game. Do you think it would be there'd be this much uproar if Miami wasn't playing in the bowl game right now?
Yeah, Miami would get ripped, but the thing is, Miami would have the case to say that they got screwed, right?
Right.
That's the whole thing with Notre Dame. You're right. Like that. Say, guys, like I said off the top, like yeah, it sucks for you, but you lost. You lost to the team that they put in, and you're not in a conference. Like you didn't have the conference championship game to play, and there's other teams too. Like I said, Vanderbilt could cry. There's other teams that could bitch right now. So. Yeah, but Miami would get called out too, Mo. There's no doubt. But
it goes back to my point. Sorry,
would you, okay, Mo. Do you think I'll ask you guys this then? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I'm not in their heads, but I believe Miami would still play in a bowl game, unlike Notre Dame. They might bitch a little bit, but not to this extent. I still think they'd suck it up and play. That's my opinion.
Florida State played a couple of years ago, if you remember. They got screwed.
Right, Georgia.
They played, and then they lost like 50-0 or whatever.
That's right. So they played, 61-2, I think it was. They didn't really show up, but they were there.
Yeah, so yeah. I think you got to know whether, all right, are our kids going to show up for this? Like, if we actually say yes to this, you've got to make sure. But, yeah, I don't understand how JMU got it. And, like, JMU, they're literally wasting everybody's time. Like, they do not have a snowball's chance in hell. All right, and I'm amazed they're plus 900 on the money line. It should be 90-1. They don't have a hope in hell of beating the Oregon Ducks in Eugene, Oregon.
What about Tulane? Tulane got smashed by Ole Miss.
That's the one, Mo. I brought it up, and I asked someone. So it was last night actually on the air. So we got here are the point spreads. The Friday, December 19th, Alabama at Oklahoma. Alabama 1-point road favorites at Oklahoma. Total 40.5. Remember, they just played a couple of weeks ago in Oklahoma, and they beat them.
Yeah, down right, in Alabama.
In Alabama, yeah. So, again, right, it's been a couple of years. So, Miami and Texas A&M. Miami, it's a good game. Miami at Texas A&M. Texas A&M are 3.5-point favorites, total 51.5. Tulane, 16.5-point underdogs at Ole Miss, total 57. James Madison get 20.5 at Oregon. Oof. And I said, Mo, when I looked at this, I said, you know what? I think Tulane can play with Ole Miss, actually. Like, they're the ones. They're like, Tulane can't win the national championship, but I don't think, Mo, Tulane step on the field, and they're not going to be, like, overwhelmed talent-wise, right? They won't be right. quite as fast as Ole Miss. Ole Miss are deeper, right? They might be a little bit bigger, but Tulane can play. Like, Tulane are a real football team. They're not undersized. Their quarterback is the real deal. You know, we saw they were a good team last year. This isn't like a flash-in-the-pan team. Their coach is effing good. He's leaving for Florida. But he's right. effing good. He's staying for the playoff run here. Sumrall can coach. You got Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss, right? They're on their own kind of now out there. Yeah, like asking Ole Miss to win by 17. That's the one to me, Mo. When I saw that, I'm like, I think Tulane could play with them. I'm going to take the 16.5.
And I'll say this, though, about Tulane, right? If they do advance to play Georgia, guess where they're playing? The Sugar Bowl, which is a de facto home game for Tulane if they get to that point of the tournament here, right? But the thing is with Tulane, though, the biggest strength for them is their creativity that they have on defense, but it's the size that might be a big issue, guys, with Ole Miss. They're a lot bigger along the O-line and D-line here, and that's where they bullied Tulane back in September when they played that non-conference game. So I think for Tulane, they have to really maximize clock and really try to figure out some creative ways to get to Chambliss and make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket if they're going to win this game down in Ole Miss.
Yeah, I don't think they can. I don't know if they win, but like I said, like getting them – plus 16.5, man, it's a lot. Like I said, I could see Ole Miss winning like 10 or 13 or something like that. And also, like I said, guys, you never know, right? You never know when you get into the playoffs how teams are going to react, right? Like we saw last year in the playoffs, a few of them were just simply overwhelmed by the moment, right? Like Boise State got rattled at Penn State. Who was the other one that just completely was like, whoa?
Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee. Tennessee just crumbled, like just on the road. It was cold weather. Like I said, like they're good teams, but you don't know. You never know. Like once you get into a playoff game, how teams are going to react. So that's why, you know, to me, you know, the shaky one is Ole Miss. But looking at the futures here, as you stated, I'm sort of mapping out like the path here for the bracket as well about who plays who and down the road. And Georgia and Ohio State would be on a collision course. So, like, not Georgia or Ohio State, they both can't make it. They would actually play each other in the semifinal. Texas Tech and Oregon would be on a collision course. Oregon really wasn't given an easy path, actually. If you're looking at the bracket, like, the Ducks after this JMU game, life won't be easy for the Ducks all the way through, like, trying to run the table through this. The updated odds right now are Ohio State plus 225, Indiana plus 250, Georgia plus 550, Oregon 9-1, Texas Tech 9-1, Texas A&M 14-1, Ole Miss 20-1, Alabama 22-1, Florida, Miami, Florida getting no respect, 25-1. Talking about lack of respect, Oklahoma 50-1. And then we get into reality here with James Madison 400-1, and Tulane are 500-1.
I got to tell you, that game for Indiana, we both bet them, and I told you, like, that was awesome for them. Then look at their path now compared to Ohio State having to deal with a Georgia team that slapped Alabama around. Big deal, right? Like, when the bracket's here. So that's very good for Kurt Cignetti and Indiana. Like, that's the thing. I look at their path and go, wow, now we beat Ohio State. Big for them.
And not only that, though, guys, Georgia, if I stand correct, right, if they were to play Oregon, it would be in the Peach Bowl, I believe, right, in Atlanta. So that their geo travel would be literally the southeast of the U.S. They wouldn't have to go too far anywhere to get to where they have to get for Miami for the national title game on January 19th. So I think for Georgia, they're the hottest team going in. Guys, we talked about them back in September. We thought maybe they were a little bit wonky. But they picked it up from mid-October till now, and they might be the toughest
team. They killed Alabama, Mo. That was just not a win, Gabe. Did you see Simpson in that game? Like, even the late touchdown, like, they got murdered. Like, Georgia took Alabama and, like, they slapped them around. That wasn't even a game. It wasn't even close.
But you know what they did? They gave Alabama a winnable game against Oklahoma.
Yeah, they did.
Right? Like, they knew what they were doing. Just for the record, too, as far as the 1-16, Mo, right now would be USC and Indiana. Though they would have been in. Vanderbilt would play Ole Miss right now. Notre Dame would play Texas A&M. So, you know, there's a couple of teams, but I'm just stating it's going to be for the blue bloods, right?
Of course.
Like the extra spots, they're going to, it's going to go like they can't decide. They were supposed to submit. They were supposed to submit this December 31st to ESPN and to everybody. So ESPN can announce to the world, hey, next year we have 16 teams and, you know, and they can't there. It's too volatile in the meetings. They can't decide on what the 16-team format will be. Basically, the Big Ten and the SEC want 4 guaranteed spots each. So that's 8 spots. Notre Dame would be guaranteed a spot if they were ranked in the top 12. So this would be unavoidable in the future. So Notre Dame would be in automatically moving forward. So that only leaves 7 other spots suddenly. So I think some of the other conferences are like, no, and some of them are agreeing with it, and like, whatever, dude. The whole everything is just screwed in this sport. It's hard. Like, there's a lot of just crap you got to deal with this sport. But as far as the game, Mo, who's your national championship pick? Who do you think is going to win the championship?
You said Oregon had a tough road to get to the Natty, right? I think they have the easiest road when you think about what they have to go through. I think you're right about Ohio State in that collision course with Georgia, if that does happen in the next round here. But look at Oregon. They beat JMU. Then they play who? They would play Texas Tech, right? And that would be the tricky game, right? If they get past Tech and get Indiana at that point, I think they can take out Indiana. And that's why
Indiana already beat them this year.
They did down there. But the thing is with Dan Lanning, though, I know we crushed them a couple years ago when they played Washington, couldn't beat the Huskies when they were in the Pac-12 back like when 2024, whenever it was. But I just think this Oregon team has a bit of chip on the shoulder and that they're a little bit more relaxed, more cerebral than what they were 2 years ago. So I think their path is a lot easier to get to Miami than the other schools right now. So give me Oregon to maybe get to Give me Oregon to make it to Miami for the national title game.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
That was actually my pick, Mo, the last couple of weeks. I've been posting it. I've been telling people everywhere. I got Oregon and Georgia playing in the championship game. And the way it works out, they actually, the way that it works out, they actually could end up playing in the championship game.
But both coaches going against each other.
That's why it sets up Dan Lanning, former defensive coordinator of Georgia, et cetera. But I don't feel as optimistic about Oregon's path as you do. I don't think having to play Texas Tech and Indiana is a party. I don't think like.
But would you rather go? See, here's the thing though. Would you rather go through that path than the meat grinder playing Georgia? Because if you get past Georgia, right, you're literally going through a meat grinder times 100.
No, there's no easy path here. Like, that's the one thing I'll say. Like, everybody's got to play. Everyone's got to play somebody. It's not easy. Look, Miami, Texas A&M, the winner will play Ohio State. I think Ohio State will beat either one of those two teams. Although, you know, like I said, like, you've got to sort of bleed the clock and play slow versus Ohio State. I don't know if those, you know, A&M, I guess, you know, A&M, I think, would have a better shot.
They're better matched up. than the
Miami.
Yeah,
like they have the speed and stuff. But, you know, actually Miami could too. It's a really good game. But and it's not at Ohio State. That's the Cotton Bowl.
That's the Texas home game right there.
Yeah, I think of Texas A&M. They're going to end up playing in the Cotton Bowl. But all that stuff is overrated.
But remember, they did beat Texas last year in the Cotton Bowl, right, to get to the final, right? So they're not afraid to go down to Arlington to play A&M or whoever they got to face at that point. So,
like, Georgia –
I'm with Indiana.
Will miss or Tulane. So, like, they'll beat them. Indiana gets the winner of Alabama or Oklahoma, which I think is a very good matchup for Indiana. I don't think Alabama or Oklahoma will be able to deal with Indiana.
And that'll be at the Rose Bowl, too, on top of that, I believe.
Look at Indiana, Gabe. Yeah. 24-2 the last two seasons. Both losses to last year's national championship game, Ohio State, Notre Dame. They beat Ohio State this year and getting way better than they were the year before. You know what I mean? Clutch plays, good coaching. Cignetti's going to have a game plan. I'm telling you, man, like, I believe in this team. Like, I really believe in
them. Yeah, nobody talks about them, really.
No, they don't. They
you
don't
can
talk
say they're
about
the team to beat. I think they're the number one team in the country.
I think the two teams, I know what? I know, not taking anything away from Ohio State, but you were a 4.5-point favorite. Indiana beat you. I get it. Lucas Oil. Indiana and Georgia are the two best teams, in my opinion, heading into this thing.
What if, I can see that being the final, yeah.
What if ND played Indiana now? I know last year they took them out down in South.
I think Indiana would beat Notre Dame.
I think it'd be closer than expected. I think Indiana.
It'd be a hell of a game, Mo.
What would the spread be?
Like you said, last year it was a rout.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a rout this year. Like, it would be a toss. It's a toss up. It would be like a pick 'em type of thing.
I agree.
I think 2.5 for Indiana, I think, would be the spread.
The thing is, though, Indiana, because they haven't been this before, right? So it takes convincing. People need to see it in the college football like landscape, right? To believe it. People are, how good are Indiana for real? They're not on TV much. The average fan doesn't really see them all that much. And I think now, like, people are starting to realize, like, yeah, they are. I mean, look, dude, you go into Eugene and you beat the Ducks by 10. And then you shut down Ohio State and beat down the Buckeyes the way that you just did. You're the real deal. There's no more like, well, if, ands, or buts, right? They're the real effing deal.
And guys, they went into Eugene and won by 10. That's the thing. Like, Indiana's real. Like, people got to understand. Gabe, we talked about it with Coach Bowden, too. Cignetti, the guy's an animal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he takes it personally. Great call by you when you were interviewing him. Elon, Indiana, Fort Wayne, Purdue. Like, look at these schools this guy's been to build this program in a couple years. I think the kids believe. I really do. And I think people should respect Indiana.
For the record, the amount of money the teams get, it's not as much as people think. Each school gets $4 million for making the playoffs. And then the conference, the conferences get the money, actually. So the teams, they split it up with the conference after. But so, long story short, the SEC got $20 million. The Big Ten got $12 million. The Big 12 got $4 million. The ACC got $4 million. The American got $4 million. And the Sun Belt got $4
million. Poor Notre Dame, huh? Who used that money?
Yeah, exactly. And now the SEC really needed the money. But that's another $20 million for their pile. Throw it on the pile, another $20 million. The Big 12 got $12 million for this. And the Bulls, there's no rest for the wicked, actually. It's one thing. The Bulls start this Saturday. We got Washington and Boise State in the L.A. Bowl. All right, we'll wrap it up. NFL football and World Cup NFL football. Things are getting interesting now. The playoff picture is starting to take a clear shape right now. The Kansas City Chiefs are all but done after losing last night to the Houston Texans. The Texans have played themselves into not just the playoff conversation, but legitimate contender threat conversation. Like, this Houston Texan team right now could play with anybody in the National Football League. This Texan team right now could beat anybody in the NFL. They have by far their defense is like awesome. They have the best defense in the NFL by far. Like, they just, you can't move the ball on this team. Like, they do it to everyone. Look what they did to the Bills a couple of weeks ago. Like, they terrorized Josh Allen. They sacked him like 9 times. Houston are the real deal, and they're a legitimate threat right now. The Broncos keep winning. The Bills suddenly have created a little bit of breathing room, so it's not life or death for the Bills as far as the playoffs are concerned right now. They're suddenly 9-4. And then you look at the NFC, and, man, you've got some good football teams in the NFC. What'd you think of the NFL this week, Mo?
I thought, for one, mention Houston, that defense is top three. And the thing was, Mahomes went at Lassiter the entire night. He didn't go at Stingley Jr. at all. That's the fear that they bring to the football field. Him, Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, these guys are monsters. And you're absolutely right, Gabe. If they get to the tournament as a 7 seed, maybe division winner, we'll see how it plays out next few weeks here, I don't want to play them. If you're the Buffalo Bills, you want to avoid Houston until the title game in the third round. So I think for Houston, that was quite impressive. I also thought overall, like, I feel bad for Indianapolis, but they're done. They're not going to go anywhere now without a quarterback or a competent quarterback to work with. And the Rams, you know what, guys? They need the rebound game. They got that against the Cardinals. And I thought this helped get their confidence going forward here. But the team that had the bad loss, in my opinion, the Tampa Buccaneers. That's a bad loss. I know it rained. It wasn't the best conditions down in Tampa, but you had to beat the Saints to create that separation with you and the Carolina Panthers, and also to keep that conversation alive, maybe a 3 seed. But I think for the Buccaneers, they're banged up, and they're not playing the best football now, and hopefully for them, they can rebound in December to get back to where they should be, which was incredible football in September and October.
No, you're right. They started off the season. I'm a little disappointed in this team. They don't seem to have it. I don't know if it's injuries this year, but they don't seem to have that next level. They started off strong, but I've given up on the Buccaneers as well. Updated odds right now. Rams are the favorites at plus 400. The Seattle Seahawks, Cam, are the second choice to win the Super Bowl right now at plus 700.
It's a little bit crazy, but I got to tell you guys this. Seattle through, you know what? Unbelievable stuff. Things are falling their way. They don't have to deal with Jones. They get Riley Leonard and Indianapolis at home this week. Rams, tougher game against the Detroit Lions, Gabe. Then that sets up the Thursday nighter, probably for the division, Rams at Seattle. Can't wait till next Thursday. It's going to be amazing. And I'll tell you something. People were waiting. What's Shaheed going to do? Bijan Robinson was running on Seattle. Boom. The guy breaks a 100-yard return to start the second half, and the rest is history. Cousins had the throw. They had the packages for it. Great performance by the Seahawks in the second half, and I just love the way this team just keeps on grinding. It'd be nice to have one more receiver to help out JSN, but Cooper Kupp is playing a little bit better lately.
They're in the mix. They're right there.
Yep.
They're, you know, the LA Rams, Seattle Seahawks, and a team that I think we have to take seriously as well, the Green Bay Packers, in the big picture. And, you know, listen, we can't dismiss the Eagles. Mo, what's your pick for the Chargers and the Eagles game?
Give me the Eagles. I think the running game will be huge in this game. Remember, Philly has not had a good running game. LA does a good job stopping the run. If they can establish that tonight, I think the Philadelphia Eagles get to 9-4. And for the Broncos, they'll have a stranglehold over the AFC West if the Chargers lose tonight, which I think will be the case.
Cam, what's your pick for the Monday nighter?
Gabe, we're on tonight at 8 o'clock. I hate this game, to be honest with you. You can see it going either way, but I'm taking the Eagles to win this game by like a field goal. I think it's going to be really tight. But and guys, like Gabe, you know, it's time for the staff. Like, unleash Barkley. Like, I don't know what the hell you're doing. I don't know if they need a players-only meeting because this team is too damn good to be fighting with each other like that. They got to get their heads out of their asses, and you got to do it tonight. Herbert will still, despite the injury, I think he'll be fine, but I think the Eagles will just do enough to win, Gabe. Really tight one, Eagles by like 3 or 4.
The Eagles have had like 50 team meetings this year.
Yeah, they've had
well, they had 3 this morning, so
figure it out. Way. Yeah, like, come
yeah,
on,
they've had meetings this, meetings yeah, that, but
problems.
Yeah, you got a desperate Eagle team here against a Charger team whose quarterback hasn't practiced all week and is playing with a broken hand. So, I mean, it's hard not to take a look and think, okay, this is an Eagle spot here tonight. Big games this week in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. If the Bills are going to catch the Patriots, this is it. They need to win this game, and then the following week, the Patriots play the Baltimore Ravens. But after that, the Patriots play cupcakes again. So if the Pats are going to slip up, this is it right
Gabe,
now.
I don't know about the Ravens. Yeah, looking at that Ravens team play, Lamar's obviously hurt. He's lost
the
something.
Ravens have fallen apart.
No, too. These guys are unbelievable. We talk about Harbaugh. I'd rather have Harbaugh with the Chargers. I'll tell you something. There was no adjustments in that game. Aaron Rodgers has not thrown that ball in years like he did. Like, he was slinging it all over the lot, ran in for a touchdown. Looking at Baltimore, guys. What is up with the Ravens? Like, what is wrong with you guys?
You have to wonder if John Harbaugh keeps his job because they've gone so long without doing any impact in the playoffs, guys.
Never win big games, too, Mo, in the playoffs.
And someone put a tweet out there. I'm trying to find it for you guys quickly here. Lamar Jackson's record. Here is. Lamar Jackson's record right now, he's 1-6 against KC, 2-4 against Buffalo, 3-5 against Pittsburgh, and now 3-5 in the playoffs for his career.
Wow. Lamar Lamar has lost a step too.
Yeah.
They're going to have to adjust their offense moving forward. Like, he can't just take off anymore. I remember early in the year, like even in the first game, the Buffalo game and stuff, I was like, wow, he's getting slower. Tracked down quicker. Like I saw like really early in the season and I was like, is it just me or is he kind of a step slower? And it's not even just like an injury thing. And I don't know if it's so much like he's a step slower. And as we know, guys, the NFL is insane, right? The speed of the NFL, man, we got defensive linemen that run, like I said, like the old lineman ran faster than Jerry Rice did at the combine.
Crazy, Gabe.
And like, you've got look at linemen that run 4.4 now, 4.5s and stuff. It wasn't like that even like, you know, a couple of years ago. Like the guys are as fast as ever. So it's like, yeah, you're fast, Lamar, but I'm younger than you, and I might be 280 pounds, but I'm as fast as you are.
And it's
pretty wild.
And if you remember, sorry, guys, I was going to say, if you remember, Lamar put on 25 pounds of muscle 3 years ago to take on the collisions that he was going through, right? And then he lost that weight because he thought he was too slow. But you're right, Gabe. He doesn't have the same first step as he once did 5 years ago.
You got to protect your quarterbacks. Like, what is this Washington organization doing, Morenci and Mo? Like, I'll tell you, like, that Daniels comes out there in a meaningless game against, like, he's getting pummeled against the Vikings. And remember, Gabe, RG3, when the Seahawks battered him and basically ended his career. Like, what the hell are these guys doing?
And by
Seahawks
the way,
were like, we didn't want to hurt this guy.
I would just sit him for the rest of the year.
Yes.
Commanders play the Giants next week. If Washington were to lose that game, they would have the first overall pick in the NFL draft, guys.
What was that? Imagine Washington to be worst team in NFL.
Yeah, they'd be in the top three with the Raiders and Titans, but they would have
huge.
I didn't pick that. No.
No, we didn't pick that game. Wish we did. That were the Raiders.
There's a lot of bad games in the NFL this week, but there's a couple of good ones.
Yeah, so Lions, like I said, Rams.
The Bills and the Patriots, a big one. The Bills are 1-point road favorites at Foxborough in a massive, massive game. The Chargers and Chiefs, if the Chargers lose, like
it'd be more important.
Big game, but you know what I mean? It is what it is. Chargers are 4.5-point favorites at the Chiefs. Eagles get the Raiders next week. We'll skip that one.
Yep.
please do.
But yeah, the good ones, though, you got the Detroit Lions at the LA Rams, Goff versus Stafford again. Both teams like playing for, you know, the Lions are fighting for their playoff lives, actually. So you got the Lions are 5.5-point underdogs. Green Bay Packers at Denver.
Ooh, that's a good one. Matchup. That's spicy.
Great game.
That's spicy.
The Broncos are home underdogs. Denver, 2.5-point road favorite.
I know. It's crazy. And look at even even the Miami-Pittsburgh game is good on Monday. Like, Miami's playing their asses off right now. They're not quitting. I got to give that team a lot of credit. They're just going about their business, Gabe. And what about this one, too? There's another, like, Cleveland and Chicago. Exciting. Like, that's an exciting game with Sanders. Like,
Minnesota at Dallas as well. Dallas is still in it, but Dallas needs to run the table. And J.J. McCarthy is a week-to-week quarterback. Like, the kid might turn it over six times. He might throw six touchdown passes. Right. Like, it's really all or nothing with him.
It's so true.
Hey, what does CBS do next week? Do they put Nance and Romo with the Green Bay Bronco game or keep him with the Patriots Bills game?
Good question.
I'd keep him in, with the Bills game. That's huge.
So I don't know if that's the national game next week, Packers Broncos. It's a 4:25 start,
well,
right?
Well, you know what, Mo? My guess is it'll be Nance and Romo with the Bills. Because Olsen and Davis did the Bill game yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
So I think they'll mix it up a little bit and they'll give. And, you know, man, Romo and Nance love Josh Allen and they love the Patriots and the Brady stuff. I bet you Jim Nance wants the Bills game for old time's sake. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's the one that did all those Brady's Bills games over the years. He's the voice, like, I think of the Chiefs Bills. Like, Nance is the chief of big Bills games. I like Joe Davis, though.
He's very good.
Dodger fan, but like, Bills! Like, he gets so fired up. I like it. Like,
he's him and Olsen are very good.
I love that team.
Olsen rubs me a little bit. I don't know. I used to like Olsen a lot, but now I'm sort of like, yeah, dude, we get it. Like,
He states the obvious
a lot.
Yes, he does. He does. I like Greg.
We got to get a first down here, guys. Yeah, I know, Greg. We need to get a first down.
I told you. Like, it's like, yeah, no, you're
he
right.
He doesn't finish his sentences off and he trails off. And it's kind of like, yeah, we know. But like, it's almost like these guys, they're so good and then they know they're good and they try to get better. And it, I don't know. It changes.
Yeah, just be yourself, like, Greg. Like, before he couldn't do it, then he really, really improved. You're right, Gabe. It's kind of like, what's happening?
Used to be amazing. And now Romo's terrible.
Oh, he's so, you're right.
Romo.
I don't think Jim, Romo even looks like he doesn't even get ready for the game, Gabe. I think he rolls in like a night at the bar. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Like, let's do the game.
Yeah, Romo just, doesn't look at the rosters and like no. he doesn't like.
No.
Romo's like a fan. He's fun. Like, hey, this was so cool. I'm a good guy. Love Josh Allen. Like, he's like a fan watching the game. He's like, what a play. Like, he gets into it. But he's very unprepared. Like, it's basically like he'll want to play by the linebacker. Like, because he doesn't know who it is.
Yeah.
It's sad, though. I saw Booger McFarland, who shouldn't have told people this, but it's the reality, guys. Booger McFarland, who's one of the biggest, like, ESPN college football guys, like he's on daily on their college football show and stuff. He said that he's only seen Ohio State play once this year.
That's crazy.
And that was against Texas in the first game of the year. How can you be like a college football analyst and never watch the number one ranked team in the country? Like, it just goes like they can't say they're not biased with the SEC. You guys don't even watch anything else.
Well,
you don't even watch.
Like, that's the whole thing.
But all the networks are going are defending each other, right? Like Fox is defending Notre Dame and the Big Ten, and ESPN is defending the ACC and the SEC. Like everyone has their stake in or claim in the college football ecosystem.
Yeah, that's why I said they screwed Notre Dame because they're like FNBC. They only have Notre Dame, so we don't have to bow down to them.
And don't forget, they get a Rutgers-Maryland game every so often on NBC. So it's
an excellent point, Morency. And Booger went to LSU and stuff, too. It's like enough of this SEC love and stuff like that. Like, if you're not watching Ohio State and Indiana, you're not watching college football.
Just can you imagine if someone like, if Urban Meyer said, or somebody said, like, in the East Coast, Midwest, like, I don't know. I've never seen Alabama play. I've only seen them play once this year.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? It'd be like, well.
What?
It's just, but they're honest, though. To go show, like. Dude, I used to see with the Expos, man. I used to be up there when I did the Expos games. I was in a press box and stuff like that. And I'd be like, this guy votes for, like, the Hall of Fame. He doesn't come to games. He doesn't pay attention to games when he's here. They're like, they vote on awards. And, like, these guys, like, it's bad. Like, a lot of this media stuff, like, the so-called experts, they're not even watching the games, like, literally and figuratively. Okay, we'll wrap it up. Mo, World Cup draw. What was your takeaways from the World Cup draw?
I was crying seeing Donald Trump get that award on Friday afternoon, guys. I was emotional.
What, the FIFA Peace Prize Award?
Whatever that award was. Whatever that's called. Anyway, look.
Just for the record, Mo, but that whole award, that whole show, that whole ceremony, that whole draw has been panned as the most awkward and worst thing in the history of television.
Of course.
It was.
People in Europe were like disgusted. Like everybody was just like, what the hell is this? And why are the village people playing? Why is Trump getting an award? Why is like there are a lot of whys, right? But it is what it is. Thank God it's over and we don't have to deal with that crap anymore. But as far as Canada's draw is concerned, I got to be honest. We were doing the podcast live when it was going on. So I sort of held I was going to, I'll talk about it later. Let's see how it plays out. My heart sort of sunk at first when the first team drawn was Switzerland. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, we're supposed to get, like, easy games, easier games.
Yeah.
And we get a team ranked higher than us. They're ranked 17th in the world. Switzerland have advanced in their last three World Cups. They always get out of the group. Like, they're not a flashy team that people talk about, but they're damn good. They're damn efficient. So I was like, oh, God, you got to be kidding me. Not again. Give us a, you know. All right. And then you look at the rest of the draw here. We get Qatar, which is a very winnable game for Canada. Qatar ranked 51st in the world. And now you throw in the potential Italy stuff.
Yeah.
And then people say, well, or Wales, or Herzliya, but it's going to be Wales or Italy. People say, well, Italy aren't playing that well. Yeah. You really think we want to play Italy in a World Cup game? In Toronto, too, where it might as well be in Rome.
It'll be the Italian home crowd.
Even Team Canada are saying that. They're like, wow, we'll see what happens when we play with it. Because they all said, man, there's a lot of Italians in Toronto. But it might not be Italy. It could be Wales. And truth be told, Italy aren't that good right now.
No, so, they're struggling.
Right? But what do you think of Canada's group? It just bothers me because they did a test run the night before, guys. They literally did a simulated draw in Washington just to make sure everything worked or whatever. So they did a simulated draw. And Canada got Paraguay and Paraguay and whatever, a couple others. They basically got what USA got in real life. Like the US, because when I saw the test draw, I was like, man, I hope we get that. And the USA got the like a, such an easy draw, which is hard to say that they didn't know what they were doing.
Exactly.
But it is what it is. I don't know if Canada wins the group.
No, they won't.
But listen, don't forget, too, eight teams advance that are in third place, right?
That's right, yeah.
So Canada's going to advance, guys. We'll beat Qatar. We'll advance. But the thing is, you don't want to be in that wild card group because that's when you got to play tough teams right away. You want to, you know what I mean? If Canada win, you know, ideally to win the group. But I believe, Mo, that Canada could beat Qatar and get a draw against Switzerland and Italy and get 5 points.
Yep, I agree. That's where I think the target will be five. Five should get you the second seed in Group B. They'll take out Qatar. Qatar, I know, won the Asian Cup and all that stuff. They're not a good nation, guys. They're going to get wrecked. Canada's biggest question mark will be the health of their players going into the final 3 months in the lead-up to the World Cup, guys. Like Alphonso Davies, we know his history, guys. If he's hurt, that will cripple Team Canada's hopes of trying to make a run here at the World Cup.
But yeah, we're almost used to not playing with them. You're right. The overall health of everybody, not just him, but the overall team.
Exactly. And I just think Canada right now, for what they got amongst the host nations, I think USA did very well. I think Mexico has a rather easy group themselves. But I think Canada's got a manageable group that they can get 5 points out of this and advance to the knockout round. So I think for them, all's not lost. Some people are upset by how this played out. Even if Italy's in there, they'll probably compete with them. They may not beat them, but 5 points I think they can easily get in this tournament for the first round at least.
That first game is so critical, right? If you're able to even get a point, get that momentum, then they come out west to Vancouver and they can get this thing rolling playing against Qatar. I've got tickets to, and I didn't know who I was going to see because I bought the tickets before, knowing the prices were going to go up, right? And they did go up. I was smart. I saved myself about $400 per ticket. So I didn't know what game I was going to get. And at first I'm like, oh God, like between Italy, Switzerland, and Qatar, I got tickets to the Qatar game.
Hey, that's good though, Gabe. It's kind of like going to a game where you can win. Like, you know what I mean?
So at first I was like, oh, I kind of got the, I didn't get the glamour. But then I realized, I was like, yeah, but I got the one that we can win.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'd rather go. And not that we can't beat Italy or Switzerland, but exactly. I got the winnable game. So, and I can still go to the Swiss game.
I'm one of those guys, Gabe. I don't mind watching like a crap team play the teams that I like because I want to leave happy. And there's a good chance you could leave happy.
No, I told you. I wanted to play Cape Verde.
Cape Verde. That would have been amazing. But
they're the lowest ranked team in the tournament. But I wanted. I said that last week. I was like,
what about Caraco?
Cape Verde and
Cape Verde.
What about Caraco?
I wanted New Zealand too.
No, what about Caraco and Jordan, right? You don't play those guys?
yeah. Wayne Gretzky. That was great.
Oh, Wayner. Yeah, pulling out.
What I don't understand is how is Wayne Gretzky unable to say Jordan? You're friends with Michael Jordan.
Gretzky struggles with a lot of stuff. Like
Gretzky, it was the funniest and kind of pathetic, actually. It wasn't even funny. It was it was funny, but you know, Mo, how serious this is.
Yep.
And you really insulted these countries.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to get a presenter, like, you know what I mean? Like, they should have asked everybody before. Is there any country on this list that you have a hard time with saying? And we will tell you how to say it. But so Wayne Gretzky called the country of Jordan, Gordain.
Yeah.
Gordain. He goes, Gordain. Like, no one even knew what he was talking
about. Macedonia, I think
it was. Yeah, instead of Macedonia, he goes, Macedonia.
Macedonia.
Sounds like a cookie.
Curacao was the best one. Yeah. And he struggled when he was like, Curacao. Curacao. He holds it up, Curacao. And everyone in the room's like silent. Like, not like they didn't think it was funny. It was kind of like, dude, like, who is this idiot? Like, the soccer world doesn't know Wayne Gretzky is. Why was he there?
Exactly. Great point, Gabe. He knows, I think that's Sweden, why. Finland, Russia. Like, yeah. Slovakia.
Like, Tom Brady, like, everyone there. It's like, why are you guys here? Like, you're making a joke of this. Like, I don't like it.
Where's Figo? Where's Del Piero to be on the stage?
The whole thing was a gong.
Curacao. And then Wayne Gretzky had a hard time saying Northern Ireland. He was like, Ireland. He said, Ireland. I don't know if Wayne Gretzky can read. I was just basically, I was like, I think Wayne might be illiterate. Like, he's not one of these hockey players that he's just, you know. Yeah, Wayne, like, that's people always talk about that with hockey players, about, like, they never comment on social issues or they don't do this. I've always told people, Mo, they're the by far the least most disconnected from reality out of any athlete. Like a baseball player, like reads the newspaper and stuff. Like in the clubhouse, they, you know what I mean? They'll have it on CNN or whatever. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Put the sound down, but the news is on. Like they're not oblivious, like completely to the world. Like NHL players are just oblivious. Like they don't know like anything about anything besides puck bunnies, forecheck, backcheck, paycheck. And that's it. Like, I don't know if you saw, I even called him out for it the other day. You saw the Tkachuk brothers have a podcast?
Yep.
And they were like, they said it's so embarrassing and pathetic when women call us by our nicknames. Like, they were like, they did basically a podcast, like, mocking female fans.
Oh, boy.
And not I always this. Tell people, this is what NHL players think about women, man. Right? Crazy. They only want to sleep with you. That's it. Like, they don't respect your opinion. They don't respect you as a fan. They don't. Like, they just point blank don't. I was amazed, but they sounded like a bunch of 14-year-olds, but that's an NHL room. Like, that's a lot of NHL rooms. Like, they're just dumb sort of jarheads. And Wayne Gretzky's the king dumb jarhead. Best player, but just another jarhead.
Like, it's actually funny because the tough guys are actually the smartest guys and the guys in the PA. The other guys, there's a lot of them are just stooges. It's actually crazy how like the enforcers are the smarter guys.
As a goalie. But the smartest ones are usually the goalies. Like you've noticed the goalies are pretty like they're not the dumb ones kind of. Right? Yeah, there's a lot of goons that are smart dudes and stuff, but you know, like a guy like Carey Price or whatnot. You know, you get some smarter dudes, but
Dominic Moore's pretty good, I find, for hockey.
Yeah, but like, there's really good. Like, if we did an IQ test of the NHL players as a league, I don't think it would be a pretty result.
Chucks is struggling.
Yes,
they don't go to school.
Ken. No, they don't go to school.
You're like you play in a junior hockey. You're in school. You go to class. Like, all right, so Mo, you have a pick for the World Cup, an early pick. I'm sticking to my guns. Spain or France are going
to
win.
Yeah, I think. But again, talk to me in April when the health list picks up for all these club teams, right? But I agree with you. I think France or Spain are probably the favorites to win. I think I give it more towards Spain. There's been a question mark with France right now with their back line going towards the World Cup. I think Spain has a lot less questions to work with, so I give Spain the edge over France for the time being.
I would agree. Play a Buffalo Bill to win the Super Bowl, Spain to win the World Cup parlay. Yeah. All right, so great stuff. Time just flew. I wanted to wrap it up quicker, actually. But thanks, Mo. Thanks, Cam. We'll see you tonight, Monday Night Football, 8 o'clock Eastern on the Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Roku TV, and much more. Eagles and the Chargers. I, like Mo and Cam, are leaning with the Eagles in this football game as well. Like Cam, I don't know. It's a tough game. It's one of those, wow, it's a tough game to handicap and break down. I would imagine it's a low-scoring game, too. I really, between these two teams, man, I don't think it's going to be a track meet with these two defenses. So I like the under as well. We'll catch you on the grid. Other than that, you're on your own later.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.